Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.
Welcome. We are live. So, a coffee with Karen, a cup of positivity with just a sprinkling of woo-woo. Although,
love it.
We've been adding. It's not so much a sprinkling anymore. We're adding a couple of tablespoons now. So, yes, each week my guests tend to be coaches, healers, in some aspect helping people basically from either a mental, a physical or spiritual perspective. Or what tends to happen more these days is that everybody is encompassing the whole lot, which is great because we are all human beings, and if we miss one, we're going to come out of balance. So your host, my name is Karen Roberts. My focus really these days is helping other coaches, practitioners sort of get their message out and help them create an income that is, yeah, it's worthy of them because they're doing a lot of work. And what tends to happen is that a lot of these healers and coaches are very good at giving, not so good at receiving, which actually today's topic is going to cover, I would have thought, because it's going to be around the money side of things and how we can set ourselves up to fail, but also what can be done about that, because many could have these money blocks. So can you share with the audience, Emma, a little bit about who you are, what you do, and share a bit of your story, please?
Oh, thank you so much, Karen. Well, yeah, I work with entrepreneurs, healers, business people, mostly women, to be fair. And I help them to break through their money blocks and, you know, release self-sabotage by dealing with the root cause. Because what I see a lot of is people just kind of playing whack-a-mole with the symptoms of these things rather than dealing with the root cause. So I help them kind of find out where they come from and release that stuck emotion so that they can, you know, step up, so they can upgrade, you know, so raise their income ceiling and actually receive more. And this could be done so easily. Like people think that it's really hard. They have to go through all the trauma again. It's just absolutely not true. I've worked 5-10 minutes. People have big breakthroughs and, you know, suddenly they're able to do things that before felt impossible. So that's the work that I do. And I've been doing it for this work for maybe 10 years. I also teach yoga and meditation. And the reason why I got into this is because, you know, I was on the path to becoming a human rights lawyer. I always wanted to help people. And then I finished the studies and I was like, oh God, this isn't what I want to do. And then I was completely freaking out. Who am I? What's my purpose? And I actually thought that figuring out my purpose was going to solve all the problems. I was so naive. Like I thought, you know, once I figured it out, you know, pure alignment, the angels would come down, the pathway would become clear, and it would be so easy, and I'd be like guided along. And that wasn't what happened at all. The hardest part was what happened next, because once I realized, you know, I found this healing, and I was like, wow, people were like, you're really good at this, and I naturally enjoyed it, and the yoga and everything, and I was like, this is it. But I really struggled for a long time to make it work for me, because I had all these internal blocks. And like everyone, I was trying to throw money at it. I was trying this coaching system, and they all promise you, like, do this and it's going to work for you. Follow this formula and everything's going to be great. And it just didn't work for me. Either I didn't follow through on it, or it just didn't work for me. And, you know, it wasn't until I really started to address these kind of deep-seated things, these deep-seated issues, which really are like what you said about, it's really what I really do is help people to kind of value themselves. That's really at the root of it. So it's about valuing yourself and allowing yourself to receive, like you said. So those are the blocks that I was really, they were really deep seated. And that was the core. So doing everything else or getting new strategies just weren't working because they weren't addressing that underlying issue that was affecting everything else. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so, totally. You're giving a holistic approach, which is what was missing in every area, whether that's fitness, health, business. That seems to be the ongoing theme, is that, like I said at the beginning, you know, we are human beings. There is a mental, a physical, an emotional, spiritual side to us. And if something's out of whack, it would make sense that we're not in the correct place to actually, yeah, you can have the perfect strategy or marketing plan in the world. You still got to actually take action on it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I see a lot of people, like the three signs that I see when people have self-sabotage or have these kind of blocks going on. And sometimes a lot of people don't know that they have these blocks going on under the surface. So they might just be getting more and more frustrated. So these are the three main signs that I see. So the first one is trying really, really hard, doing all the right things, working really hard, putting in all the hours, struggling, and basically burning yourself out to make things work, thinking that it's going to work. And if you're doing that and it's not working for you, not getting the results, it means there's some underlying things. So that's the first sign. The second thing is, you know, people who, and we've all know, I can put my hand for all of these, but you know, people who know exactly what they should be doing, like business coaches and all this, they can tell everyone else what to do. Even people doing the work that I do, sometimes they come to my things and they know all this stuff, but they're not implementing it themselves. So mm-hmm. they know what they should be doing, but for some reason, they're not able to sit down and actually follow through on it, like the procrastinating. That's a big flag that there's some deeper stuff going on. And the third way that I see is people who are working and doing, they're moving forward, and then they get really close to success. And then suddenly, like, the rug gets pulled out from under them and they kind of go back to square one. That's a sign that there's some fear. There's some deep-seated fear, because that's what this is about. It's about you have some kind of fear that you can't succeed. It's like an existential thing. If you're successful, like, you want to make more money, but deep in your being, there's a part of you, it's usually a child part, that says, oh my God, if we start making too much money, we'll become a bad person. We won't be part of our tribe. So it's really kind of this survival stuff, and it's not logical. So this is why just going reading a book or knowing about it doesn't solve the problem. You've got to actually release that energy, release that stuck emotion that's there, and deal with that part of you that's kind of holding on for dear life.
Right. And it's quite interesting that quite often all these things are not, how shall I put it? They're not tangible things that you can see or touch. It is always going back to some kind of feeling place, or it is that sort of something that's going on in the background that you can't see. I mean, like, you talk about money blocks. So for the listeners, can you sort of put it simply so that if they sort of recognize it, what is a money block?
So a money block, and we all have them, like, trust me, even Bill Gates, he wants to make more money, guaranteed. He's working on his blocks. He's working on his upper limit. He wants to make more money. So he's working. So I just want to, first of all, release any shame around this, because we all have them. It's basically a money block is just a limit that we subconsciously put in ourselves about how much money we can let into our life. It's basically your comfort zone around money. You know, right. We have a comfort zone for how much love it's safe to have, for how much, you know. And money is a real tangible thing that you can see. If you look in your bank account or your business bank account, you can see
it, right? Or it's not.
Yeah. And you, most people, they'll have like a kind of, it's like a thermostat. You know, you set your thermostat in your house to whatever, 20 degrees or whatever it is. And when it gets really hot and the sun comes, and then, you know, the cooling system comes on, and you go back to your set point, and vice versa. If it gets really cold, the heater comes on and you go back to your set point. And it's the same with your financial thermostat, because we all have like a safe zone this is how much money it's safe for us to have. And I'm sure people listening will recognize this. So they normally have, you know, say 1 grand, 2 grand, whatever in their bank account. And when, you know, it all goes out and, you know, something comes and it goes back, the money comes in, they find clients, they're back to their safety net. And for some people, this kind of safety zone, the comfort zone with money, can be in the plus. Sometimes it can be in the thousands, the millions, whatever. And for some people, it can be in the minus. And also, I want to make one other point. Some people, what's comfortable for them, and when I say comfort zone, it's not actually what's really comfortable and nice. It's just what we're used to. So it's kind of like your familiar zone. And for some people, their familiar zone, their comfort zone, what they're used to, and often this is imprinted when they're really young, it's like the up and down, the roller coaster. Oh my God, how am I going to make? And then suddenly they come, and then they're up again and they're down again. And it's just a really kind of frenzied way to live, because you don't have that sense of safety and security. And, you know, a lot of times that can be imprinted, like when we're really young, people who were brought up in homes like that, where, you know, there was this constant drama around money. And very often they can go on to kind of live out that pattern again in their career, like it's just about having enough and then not having enough and then going from one extreme to another.
Right. And I mean, do you think a lot of that also is taught really in schools? You know, you'd go and do your career advice, you know, as a child, and really all they're giving you advice for is certainly not to be an entrepreneur, is it? It's to go and get a specific job, and that kind of job would tend to pay you 20 grand a year, 30, whatever it is. Yeah. So children even growing up, unless they are in a household of entrepreneurs who've sort of you know, again, smashed through that ceiling, it can be imprinted that is the norm. Would you say that's sort of part of it as well?
Definitely. Like, the education system doesn't teach people about money. It doesn't teach people how to manage money. It doesn't teach them about, like, the energetics about money, about how it's such an emotional. I mean, even when you look at the way the financial system is structured, it's all very emotional. Like, when people panic about things, you know, they sell and then the stock market goes down. So our financial system is based around emotions, which is not logical at all.
No.
It's really not logical. And the same with our inner emotion, our financial thermostat. It's also based on emotions, which is not logical. So you can't just come and analyze it and read a book and, you know, because there are people who, you know, they know I'm like this because my mother dropped me on the head when I was a toddler and my father left the family and abandoned us when I was 16. You know, they can know all this stuff. They can write the book, but they're still very stuck in their story. So there's another level to all this. And it's about breaking out of the story, releasing that trapped energy so that you can live a different story. You can create another story for yourself. Because when you're stuck in this old story, this old patterning, it's really, really hard to break out of it. And I just want to say to anyone who is recognizing themselves through any of this, it's not your fault. And what I see when people start recognizing these things, and again, I have to point the finger because I did this as well, because I recognized I had all of these patterns going on. And what I did is I kind of blamed and shamed myself. And when you do that, you just dig in yourself further in to this pattern. So it's not a weight of freedom, beating yourself up. If that worked, I think I posted, there's an artist and he says, if being hard on yourself, beating yourself worked, it already have done its job by now. And I think a lot of people, you know, that's their norm. Their norm is just beating themselves up and saying, I'm no good. Why is this not working? It never works out for me. And that's the story that they keep seeing in their life. They keep creating and recreating that pattern.
And well, it just goes to show that we are creating our life. We are creating, designing our life. However, if the story is the same every day, then you're just going to continue getting more of the same. I mean, I find it quite a fascinating subject, because it is it's just always going back to, like you just said there, you can write it down, you can be aware, which I suppose is step one. Sounds like step one.
Being aware is definitely step one, because I mean, lots of people, and that's people who are aware they have money blocks, I want to congratulate to them, because that's step one. That's essential for anything else to happen. And that's the start of taking responsibility.
Right.
So it's essential.
I love that, what you just said there, taking responsibility, because it is. And I wonder, you know, I'm sure you've probably got people around you. I have a few people that in my acquaintances that all you hear is blame. And I think to myself that you're not helping yourself. You can't be in that victim mentality and blaming everybody else for your issues. It is about, because yes, everybody's got a story, what they've been through or whatever, but if you stay there, right, there's no hope. But actually owning it, and like you just said there, love that, taking responsibility, because no one is coming to save us.
No.
I might still be waiting, but
you'll be waiting a long time.
I will be. But it's so, that is so empowering. So again, listeners, if you think, you know, that's not me having a go for people who are blaming, but it's because they're not aware. When you're aware that if you do take responsibility, then things can change.
Absolutely. And I just want to make one more point there as well, because I mean, lots of people do project the blame at everyone else. It's my mother's fault. It's the government's fault. And lots of people also blame themselves. And that's also a form of blaming. And
that's worse, isn't it?
Yeah, probably is. You're not, because when you're blaming, you, it's like they're not, because people think law of attraction is all about blaming and shaming people. And it's not. It's about responsibility, which is 180 degrees different than blaming.
Yeah.
So when you're blaming, you're looking backwards. When you're taking responsibility, you're saying, right, this is where I am, and this is how I'm going to move forward. When you're like, your responsibility, it's the ability to respond. And when you're in blame and shame, you are not able to respond to anything. You're just going round and spiraling. Yeah,
you can't even see it, can you? It's just, that's got to be just linked to it. It's just energy, isn't it? So if you're not in that thing, so what you're doing then, it sounds like, is that you really are giving them their power back. You're empowering them to create a change, because having that knowledge that it is down to you and you can change it. So for some people, some people may not even be aware. So how would they know? What would be the telltale signs of somebody has got a money block?
Okay, well, we've all got them. So it's just want to say that, first of all. I've been working on my money blocks a long time, and I'm still, this is like a never-ending process.
The journey, right?
It's a journey. So, you know, Bill Gates, Tony Robbins, they're working on their upper limit. They're working on their money blocks. It's just a terminology. So you've got them. We've all got them. And it's so, if you're not making the money that you want, then that means that you've got some kind of limitation on there, very basically. If you want to be earning more, if you're not happy doing what you're doing, then you've got some kind of blocks that are saying, I can't make money doing what I want to be doing. I have to work. Like the big one that I see, you got to work hard for money. And then when people do something that's really easy for them, they kind of feel like they don't deserve money for that. It's really like, so often it comes down to the worthiness piece, that old chestnut, I'm not worthy of money, and all of these things. So basically we've all got money blocks, and it's just about what kind of level you're on. And if you're not earning the money, if you want to be earning more money than you are, then there's some work to be done here.
Right. And it's always going to start from with it. And this is what I say. We're always, like you said right at the beginning about, you know, having, you could have the perfect strategy. It seems to me that everybody, all the focus is on changing the action rather than coming back to, well, the action came from a feeling place or some kind of thought pattern, some idea. Definitely. So it makes sense to actually work back. But because we are in such a doing, you know, it's all about the action. And again, I'm not saying that you can just think about it and it'll appear. But there is an action part, but it's doing it in the right order, changing that, the energy of it, I suppose.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's like if you imagine yourself like looking in a mirror and this is your business or your financial situation, and you want to make more, and you're getting all frustrated and angry, and you're wondering why the image is getting, and you put your hands out and you're trying to make it smile, and you're like, oh, why is that not working? That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing.
I like that.
That's exactly what we're doing. So we're doing it backwards, and we wouldn't do that with a mirror. It's totally illogical, because we recognize, you know, if you smile first, the image has no choice but to smile back. But we do that with our money, with our business, with everything else. We're trying to change the outside first without recognizing, well, that's a reflection of what's going on in here.
That's the first time I've ever heard that analogy. That is perfect, because it is. I've already found it quite difficult for some people to understand that, because we are so conditioned to be in such a physical action oriented place. And what you're saying there is, it's not that. And this is the difference. This is what I see as the separation between what we're calling the woo-woo world, which in my head just is the world. And then the sort of so physical, logical state, that there seems to be poles apart, but actually we need to actually bring them together, because it's they're two sides of one coin, right?
Definitely. And I think like Western logic has really put all that stuff under the carpet, like the energy and how, you know, all of that stuff. But if you look at any other culture in the world, you know, they are even pre-Christianity, like the pagans, everything, they all believed in, you know, everything was connected. You know, if you look at any of them, they all had this idea that everything was connected, that there was some kind of life force, the prana, whatever terminology that you want to use. And in Western, like, everything is really segmented, like, you know, this is separate from that. The heart is separate from the lungs. The head is separate from, and this is why they have doctors and specialists for everything, but it's not. And that's kind of can be quite useful, but then they can get so specialized that they lose the understanding of how everything is connected, which is something that they understand in other types of medicine, Chinese medicine. You know, it's all about the flow. In Indian medicine as well, it's all about how everything is connected. And if one thing is blocked somewhere, it can affect something somewhere else. And that's exactly, like, very often, again, when people are blocked in their money, that block will be showing up in other places in their life. Like, it shows up in their relationships. A lot of people have blocks around relationships, around receiving, and also in sex, which is, you know, they're very connected. Like, because it's about, again, it's about receiving, about pleasure. And if you're not receiving, letting yourself receive money, what else are you not letting yourself receive? That's kind of just, it's kind of just like, you know, if you like the coffee pot, you know, you just want to keep pouring and there's no coffee in it, you know, it's just not going to happen. But that's what a lot of people doing. And then you can end up feeling resentful towards other people, but really it's you who've done that. You know, nobody can make you, you know, keep giving when you don't, when going running on empty, you know, that's your responsibility to say no. So again, it comes back to this idea of boundaries and how to say no, and, you know, how to say yes. Because, you know what, if you can't say no, your yes doesn't really mean anything at all.
Right. Yeah, love that. And it does seem, again, going back to this whole, you know, it's like a cycle. So if they then feel bad or feel like a failure, then they resent maybe themselves and more. When that's just going to, sort of action is going to come from that feeling? So it's, if people can understand that it's okay, if you're aware that you're in that, it's okay to acknowledge it, because now you know that something can actually be done about it. So how do you go about releasing these money blocks?
Well, you know, it can be really helpful, because, like you were saying, when you are stuck in the self-sabotage cycle, it's like a spiral, you know, and like you said, it goes down and down and down, and it feeds on itself. It's a vicious cycle. So it goes deeper and deeper and gets worse, and the feelings get worse and more intense. So it can be very hard, like you said, to see a way out for yourself from that place, because you're very disempowered. You're like, oh, I'm such a disappointment. And you're going between these often you go between two like frustration, disappointment, and those are the two primary emotions that you feel every day, and you can't see any way out of there. So it can be really useful to get someone else who has who can see your situation objectively to really help you. Like the other analogy that I like to use, you know, Indiana Jones going through the sinking sand, you know, he needs someone to throw him a rope to get out of there. Because the thing is, the more you struggle, the deeper you sink. And that's also true when you are in self-sabotage. The more you struggle, or you know, those things, the finger things, the more you struggle, the tighter it goes around you.
Yeah.
So it's about kind of moving out of the struggle. And that can be, it can be really helpful to have a different perspective or someone there, a coach or a guide or a healer, to kind of show you to get out of that. And so that's the first thing. But recognizing, you can start recognizing what your beliefs and feelings are. There are things that you can definitely do yourself, like start recognizing that you're sabotaging, start recognizing the main feelings that you're feeling, the main thoughts that you're thinking every day, like I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, you know, what is it for you? What is that voice saying? And then you can start to turn it around. You can start looking, right, well, so that's not true. I keep telling myself that I'm not good enough, but actually, you know, I am good at some things, you know. Start talking back to that and start, you know, rationalize it and recognize that that's an overgeneralization. And that's like, often it's black and white thinking. Because I'm no good at this, your negative mind says you're no good at all because you failed at one thing. Okay, so I didn't succeed on this thing, but I succeed in many things. And then start focusing on the things that you do that you are good at. Like escaping from the negative mind is really, it's a process, because the negative mind is really, it's designed, it has a purpose. The negative mind, we talk in yoga, three minds. So there's a negative mind, there's a neutral mind, and there's a positive mind. The negative mind is the one that's really developed in a lot of people, overdeveloped. And that's designed to keep you safe. It's designed to keep you safe. So it's designed to warn you, don't walk off the cliff. Don't go that way. Dangerous. And when it's overdeveloped, it sees danger everywhere and just leaves you paralyzed and not able to take another step forward. Then there's the neutral mind, which is the one that kind of sees the big picture and can see, right, can see everything. And then there's the positive mind, which looks at the positives. And what can happen when you're in the, when you're deep in the negative mind, the positive mind can just kind of agree, oh, I'm not good enough. And then the positive mind comes and agrees with you. So it's really hard to kind of get out of there. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a really interesting take on that. Because again, like you said earlier about the, you know, the doctors, you know, in Western medicine, they can specialize. And yes, when people get again caught up in their own stories. So,
yeah.
And I suppose that's what depression is they cannot see a way out because they're caught in it. And so that neutral mind, love that. It is stepping back and seeing bigger picture, which is, you know, so for somebody coming, I don't know, what is it? Why is it that again, we've in this society, again, we've sort of been conditioned to believe, not everybody, but a lot of people, like it's a bad thing to ask for help. So some people can struggle with that, and there's no shame in it. We all need, I always need help.
definitely.
For somebody to actually reach out and say, okay, maybe I do need help with this, there's nothing wrong in this, right?
I think we live in a very individualistic culture. So it's kind of like you should be able to do it on alone. There's a lot of that. And also, with just to unpack the other part of what you said, I feel like the way we've evolved as human beings, we've survived by this whole idea. Because we only do what we do for one reason, and one reason only, when you break it all down. It's to get away from pain and to move towards pleasure, right? But the pain one is much stronger,
which is so sad. How did that happen?
It does have, because that's how we survived as human beings, by avoiding the painful things. That's what's helped us survive. So that is much more active in most people, and it's what's promoted. You know, we're not, you know, if it's between moving towards pleasure and moving away from pain, most people are going to step away from the potential pain. Mm. So this is why it's really hard for people to step out of that, because we're so programmed to just avoid pain all the time, or potential pain. And that pain can be a false flag, like, oh, I don't want to try that because I'll just end up disappointed and it'll be more painful. And so it's better to stay where I am. So this these negative beliefs, they're really tricky, and they make you believe that you can't believe anything else, that if you believe something else, that, you know, the world is going to end and that you'll die basically, and that you'll become nothing. So there it's very tricky. And positive beliefs don't have the same kind of system overlaid in them, because they're obviously more truthful. But the negative beliefs, they have this all kind of sneaky ways of making you buy into them and believing that there's no way out, that there's no escape, that you have to believe this or something terrible is going to happen. And then there are all these other beliefs that kind of build up around it to reinforce that. So, you know, when I work with people on releasing the beliefs, often there's one at the bottom and there are all these kind of other beliefs around them. I'm not good enough. My mother wasn't good. No one in my family was good enough. And you have all these other things that kind of, they reinforce each other, basically.
Yeah.
But often when you
your mind, not just my mind, I like to be right. my mind likes to be right. So it's almost like we're always trying to prove ourselves right, which is such a conundrum, you know, when you get your head around it all, because it's, you can sort of see why it's come about, but it's not serving us. Do you think things are getting worse or better? Because, and what I mean by that is, I like the idea that, you know, I'm not all, you know, of course I'm for positive stuff, but I understand there seems to be like an almost anti-positive thing going on. And all I mean by that is, yes, we're acknowledging mental health issues and it's okay to be vulnerable, but my fear, I suppose my perception of it looking in, is, hang on a minute, are we going too far that way and actually holding people in it, because they've sort of, you know, I mean, it brings me on to the sort of next thing about affirmation, you know, and I get it. The self-development side is always trying to be positive, think positive, but my fear is that people are being sucked too far the other way. What's your sort of thoughts around that?
I think that can happen. People kind of get sucked into the dark and then become a victim of that. So that's definitely true. Oh, I'm a victim because of my, you know, mental condition or whatever.
There's so much focus on it.
Focus of things as being a disease can, you know, stop people, hold people back from taking responsibility for changing. Because a lot of these things do come from the mind. And really, when you come down to it, a lot of negative thinking and negative programming that's very, very deeply ingrained. So, I think so much of the negative that people, if not all, comes from real negative thinking.
It's almost like being pandered to, if does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. And it's when we're growing up, it's what we're taught. You know, you want to, like business people, and, you know, there's a place for, you know, watching for what could go wrong. But I think that definitely goes too far, in that people don't look at, well, what if it does work? You know,
when they look at, like,
if they have an opportunity to work through their money blocks or do something that's going to develop them. A lot of people will look, right, well, I'll have to spend this much money and that'll be terrible and then I won't have any money. And they don't even think about, well, what if it works? You know, what if it works? And I start, you know, my whole situation changes. We're kind of, a lot of people are just programmed to go down the catastrophizing route. It's going to be terrible. I'll have no money ever again and I'll be homeless. And no, it's a slippery slope.
Downward cycle. Really. So why do you think on the other end then that affirmations, you know, so some people are just teaching, yes, you've just got to continually be positive, and affirmations work. Why do you think affirmations, are they working?
Well, you know, there's definitely a place for them. I do affirmations. But the thing is, they won't work if you, like a lot of people, they're like a millionaire. They tell themselves every day. And every time they say that, their subconscious is like, no, you're not. You're broke. You're totally broke. So what you're actually affirming is, I'm broke.
Yeah.
I have no money. So I think people like try to jump. They go, oh, I have like zero in my bank. I'm totally broke. And I'm going to tell myself a millionaire. And it's too much of a stretch. Right. So what can be useful is saying, you know, so go with baby steps, like start affirming that I have enough money to survive. I'm okay. And then you can move up from there. So that's one thing that I want to say. And another thing is, sometimes if you are trying to affirm, this is why affirmations don't work for a lot of people, because there's underlying something there. So if you're trying to affirm that you're very wealthy, but you have some deep-seated fear, as a lot of people do, or deep-seated reason why you can't do that, you are going to find yourself slipping backwards all the time until you address that underlying fear. So affirmations can work, but it's important to do that. Like, it's like you want to build a foundation, you want to build a skyscraper, your business, your life. You don't just build it on sinking sand and hope it will stay standing. You find a nice piece of land, you build, dig in, clear out the foundations, clear out all the negative stuff that's going to make it sink into the ground, right? We do that with building, but a lot of people, they don't do it with themselves. And then they wonder why all the positive stuff that they're putting on it don't go in. And it's because you have like trauma. We all have money wounds, money traumas, negative beliefs about ourselves, negative beliefs about our value, that can really trip you up. And that's when, you know, people start succeeding and then it's like they're back to square one again. That can be a symptom of that. Or again, like all of the other ones, you know, trying really hard and nothing moving forward, or procrastinating, knowing exactly what you have to do, having spent tens of thousands on the best strategies and programs, and you're still not taking action on them. That's a red flag that there's some deeper work to do. And you know what? Lots of coaching programs that promise people the world, and if you do this, they don't do that kind of deeper stuff. So people often come to me having spent tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands on all these things, and it's still not working for them because they have deeper stuff to resolve.
They haven't addressed the invisible stuff.
Let me give you an example. One lady that I actually was working with her on Clubhouse, and she sent me like a testimonial recently. I just did 10 minutes with her on Clubhouse, and she was afraid of, she's an ADHD coach, and she was afraid to kind of ask for the sale. So she was like, oh my God, they're going to think that I'm out of integrity, that I just want their money. And that was really holding her back in her business. So I helped her work through those underlying, and it was about 5-10 minutes on Clubhouse. And then she sent me an Instagram message a few weeks ago saying, you know, since then, she woke up the next day feeling lighter, and she's been able to kind of sell from a place of integrity since then. But that's not to say there is another level. Like, there's definitely there'll be other layers. Like, if she wants to up level her business, you know, it's not like there is no magical do this and you'll like, that's what I've discovered. Like, there is no cookie cutter approach. And that's one thing that I'm dead against, like follow this formula and this is going to work for you. I don't feel like that cookie cutter approach is effective for lots of people. It might work for some people, but I think, you know, people are sold on these things and they think there's an easy solution.
We're all human. And any selling is human to human, whether you're business to customer or it doesn't matter. You're human to human. So we're all going to have a lot of different things going on. And I love the fact that, if it were that easy, right, there would be one only formula, wouldn't there?
Yeah.
If it were that simple.
Yeah.
So why is it that some make it and some don't? It is back to it's all the, it seems to me like it's just all the inner work.
It is. I think like this inner work, the mindset work, whatever you want to call it, it's actually deeper than mindset work. I mean, we call it mindset work, but it's actually so much deeper. It's like healing. And the great thing about it, when you heal these money blocks, you know, people come back to me and they talk about other areas of their life that open up as well. So your money, like the money blocks is kind of just the doorway in for me to work with people, because I'm working on, you know, self-worth, on deeper issues. So it can, you know, imagine if you're not believing in yourself and then you start leaning into your full value, like that can change. Like, and I mentioned before, like relationships and money, very connected, relationships and sex. Like that's already a huge part of life. Like when you work through these issues, so much can open up in your life and so many new possibilities can show up when you get out of that negative thinking, that self-sabotage spiral. And that requires you dealing with the underlying root cause rather than just, because I see lots of people, even people teaching sales that I've spoken to, have said that, you know, only about 50% of the people that they teach, it's effective for. And it's because they have these underlying things that people teaching sales don't talk about, because, you know, that's like a, that's a bit,
because again, they think it's separate. That's too woo-woo. That's too emotional.
Yeah.
We're talking about sales here. And
yeah,
when everybody
yeah.
realizes you've got to come together, it's all got to be, so really, and this is, I can remember being told this many years ago, you've got to sell people what they want, but give them what you need. And it sounds to me that that's what you're doing. They're coming to you initially for a money thing,
yeah.
but actually you're solving all sorts of other issues for them as well, because people think they just want the money, but actually they don't really, do they? They want
Well, they want the money so they can feel good. And yeah. you don't need money to feel good now. And the thing is, when you feel good now, that's when money comes into you. And when you feel bad, I think we've been like, there's such we have been indoctrinated into this negative way of thinking about things and thinking that's the way to keep ourselves safe.
It's all backwards, isn't it?
It really is backwards. And then there's also this toxic positivity. So it kind of goes from one extreme to the other. Like, oh, just think yourself rich and all of this.
Yeah,
and,
sit and meditate, sit numb. It's not going to. It's just trying to bring everything in.
It's another way to escape. Like you can't, it's toxic because you're avoiding something deeper, and positivity can be used that way.
You said it earlier about we all want to avoid pain. So even when a part of the healing process, I would presume there's going to be some painful parts of it, because you've got to face it.
Well,
and so some people might want to, again, avoid it, but has it got to be part of the process or not?
That's, there's a name for that, spiritual bypassing. Yeah, that's definitely a thing. And you see people in the spiritual world and they're all kind of, they haven't worked through their own stuff. And this is why, like, people want to work on, you know, the crown and opening up. But the thing is, like, all the stuff, all our trauma is in the lower three, you know, the root chakra, the sacral chakra, and the solar plexus. That's where most of it lies. So, you know, if you want your gifts to be of any earthly good, you've got to do that work and so that you can have grounded spirituality. Because I think there's lots of people who are kind of off with the fairies, and they might have some amazing gifts to give, but they're just not, they're not on the planet at all. They're not balanced. So, and this is, you can get people who reject money, like people who think money is bad, money is evil, money isn't spiritual. These are all a lot of kind of deep-seated belief. But money, it's just a tool, you know, like a couple hundred years, it's just a means to show value. Like you help me with something and I value that, and I give you money and it's to show my appreciation. That's all it is. But we project all these weird meanings on money. Mm-hmm. Money is dirt. Like the first thing that people are told about money probably is that, you know, child puts the money in the mouth, money is dirty. So that's the first thing that a lot of people are told about money. Money is dirty. Money is bad. If you look at like all the cartoons and everything, all the fairy tales, who was the bad baddie?
Yeah.
the really rich guy. Scrooge was the wealthy people are bad, they're greedy, they exploit people. You know, you don't want to be one of those people. Also, a lot of people, they resent rich people. If people are wealthy, they're like, oh, where they've got too much money. Who do they think they are? So, you know, if you have those attitudes towards wealthy people, you can't expect to become wealthy yourself. those two things aren't compatible. You can't become that person while you're resenting them.
No. Because you're going to hate yourself and you don't want to hate yourself.
So crazy. That's when we get the sabotage. Like, that's when people are wondering, like, oh, I can't become, I'm doing all the right things and nothing's working. That's why, or if you're getting really close to the goal and it's just kind of slipping totally backwards, that's what's going on there. You have some limiting beliefs about yourself, about money and about life, about the world and what's possible for you. That's basically it. You have limiting beliefs about money and about yourself.
Yeah, that's it. And so needing to break through. So if anybody has, when we talk about having a, you know, this invisible ceiling to the amount of money that we can earn. So if people, you know, do think, oh, you know, it's, I'm never going to earn more than whatever. Again, what can they do to break through that ceiling?
Well, I mean, you can start recognizing it's there. That's always the first step. And then you can, once you recognize it, start recognizing what the beliefs are. What are the things that you're telling yourself? So I'm not good enough. And sometimes this is kind of subconscious. So it might not be something. A lot of times people might not be saying this with their out loud voice.
They
might
be saying, what do they do then if they don't even know it consciously? So that would be coming to work with you. How would you work with them to even identify that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I work with people. They tell me what's going on. I have a conversation with them. I can also tune into their energy. And the way I work is I help them to connect with their beliefs. Because what I found is if I just say, oh, you have this belief that you're not worthy and they're not connected to it, it doesn't really go as deep. So what I do is I help them connect to it. Like, so find out, there's like a bit of a digging process to find out what it is. And then we just release that energy. It's that simple, really. And, you know, it doesn't require you to re-traumatize yourself. It doesn't require you to relive the trauma or, you know, cry to the moon or talk to a therapist for 100 years. None of that is necessary. And in fact, that can be really counterproductive because, you know, talking about the problem every week, I'm just thinking of the guy in The Sopranos, you know, there are people who write books and they can write books about why I'm this way. I'm like this because my mother did that and my father did this and that and the other, and I'm poor background. And talking about it doesn't change it.
That's what I've never really understood. I've always thought, well, then you're just going back there again and reliving this and refeeling.
Yeah,
I could never understand how that could possibly. I mean, obviously, it might work in some cases, but I've never understood the sort of process behind it.
Definitely can. Like, the point of all therapy is to get you to a place to recognize where I don't need to take that on as myself, but. Again, it depends on the therapist. It depends on lots of different factors. For some people, like, people come to me and they've maybe done years of therapy and it hasn't worked for them. So that just means that they might know all these things about why I'm like this because I was abused. You know, I've worked with people who were sexually abused and all this. So they're carrying all that trauma and all this stuff that needs to be resolved and released. And I could tell you, like, just like, it's the hard work is carrying it around. Like, imagine if you're carrying around a 20 ton weight on your back. That's hard. Letting it go, it's actually really easy, you know. And then like I mentioned, that person that I worked with, you know, people feel lighter afterwards. They start seeing, oh my God, I can see differently, you know, and then they start getting these ideas and things. Because once if you're in a heavy place and you're like all negative, you can't see possibilities that are there for you. And once you release like big things, wow, you start getting ideas, you start getting inspirations about actions to take. And I think we talked about this before, like taking actions from an unaligned place don't work. Let me give you an example of an artist that I was working with recently, after our first session together, we did some inner child work and I helped him release some stuff. And then he got the idea, we both kind of got this download that he needed to make a phone call to this woman. And, you know, he had lots of fear around reaching out and I helped him release that. And then he had to go and take the action. So that was part of it. And from that one action, he sold a piece of art worth thousands of pounds, and also he got an exhibition. So this is the power of getting in alignment and then taking action from that new place. But action is the language of physical reality. So like, that's another mistake that I see lots of people making, especially spiritual people. You know, they think they can do all this clearing work and not take action. And that's why it's not working for them. You've got to release and then take action. So there are two kinds of sides. There are people out there taking loads of actions from a place of disempowerment and out of alignment and wondering why it's not working. And then you have the other cohort of people that are just doing all this work on themselves and doing Reiki and going to healers and never taking action, never taking inspired action. And then they're like, oh, it doesn't work for me. What's wrong?
And that does seem to be the missing link. I can remember probably the best piece of advice I was ever given years ago. I was living in the Algarve and had a 4-year-old, 7 months pregnant, realized that it possibly wasn't going to be enough work for both of us. We were both in the fitness industry, and I was following Bob Proctor, and he'd just done The Secret. And the coach said to me, because I said, oh, you know, we pre-ordered it when it was originally going to be, it was going to originally just be a documentary. He said, there is so much depth to that film. Watch it twice a day for a month. And I thought at the time, you're mad. And then I thought, well, hang on, you're where you are and I'm where I am, so maybe I should listen.
Yeah.
Best thing I ever did, because, again, people will either read the book or watch the film and think, oh, what, you know, that doesn't work. What, you just ask the universe? Well, no, they do say, if you listen, inspired action. But it's you're right. There seems to be, again, this divide. My way is right. No, my way is right. One is one side, the other one. I mean, it sounds like you've brought you bring the two together.
Yeah. And I think The Secret is great as a first step, but I think that does apply a little bit, that you can just, you know, wish yourself a new car without taking action. They might mention it, but it's not very deeply ingrained. So
no.
I think that requires a little bit of study to kind of get that out. But yeah, inspired action is so important.
Times.
You can't just like, I think Jim Carrey said, you know, and he talked about, I think he was talking to Oprah, and he was saying, you can't just, you know, visualize and then go off and eat a sandwich. You know, you have to visualize, feel it, and then take action from that place. You got to feel it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's that feeling place and then take action. So for the listeners, if they they're not where they want to be, and so they're now, maybe they've now got to that step one of, okay, maybe I've got some money block issues, because you have. Depending on where you're watching or listening to this, obviously I'll have your links down below. But if you're just listening on the radio or on the podcast, how would people get in touch with you?
Well, you can find me on my website, experiencetrueself.com. You can also book a call, which I have a free 20-minute consultation. So that's at bit.ly/quickcallemma. And I'm also on Instagram and Facebook. On Instagram, if you can find me on Instagram, I am Emma S. Lyons. So that's where you can find me. So
can you repeat your website again?
It's experiencetrueself.com.
experiencetrueself.com. Awesome. So how do you work with people? So you have a 20-minute consultation. I mean, it sounds like you, the work that you do is pretty instant.
Yeah, people do notice an instant shift once you get to that root point. Like some people, they like to talk about the story a little bit. The story is often kind of a bit of a distraction, because it's kind of a distraction. The thing that we need to get to is the feelings. So I help people to get to the feelings, connect with the feeling, and then we can release it. And that's just, these are just trapped emotions. Like, I don't know if you've read the book, The Body Speaks Your Mind. You know, they're starting to know this now and to recognize this in modern science now, how the body, you know, we store all this old trauma and old wounds, and it's actually physically in the body. You know, that's why when people do yoga, you know, sometimes they can have a little cry, you know, doing stretches and things like that, because it's just releasing old emotions that have been there. So the work that I do, it is instant. It's just about, I just guide people to connect with it. And then I help them release that. And it's like, it's a painless process. You don't need to do any weird stuff. You just need to be open. And I've worked with people who, you know, aren't necessarily open to these, aren't, you know, don't believe in anything. You just need to be open to it. That's all. You don't need to believe in anything. You just need to be open enough to give it a try, really.
Right. And then there you go. The proof is in the pudding. And as you've shared with us, some testimonials of people, it's everything. It's how you, I think in the past with the self-development sort of arena, as it were, the focus was very much on thoughts, and that's where I was. That I think, why isn't it working for me? Because it was too logical. It's the thought, but it's about the feeling place for me seems to be the most important one, which it sounds like is the key thing for you.
Yeah, definitely. And you can't have a change. Definitely, but you can't have a feeling about anything without having a belief about it first.
Yeah.
So think about it. If I say, you know, a word that you don't recognize, you don't give it any meaning because you don't know what that means, right? So you can't have a feeling about anything without having a belief about it first. So it's really going to that belief and value level that's even slightly deeper, like we are the meaning makers. We're the meaning maker machines, and nothing has any meaning unless the meaning that we give it, and that meaning, that belief, denotes what our feelings are going to be. So, you know, it's going to that belief level, and that's really the foundation.
Right. And do you think that again, through conditioning, I mean, maybe it's different in different parts of the world, but it always seems to me that people, they're either feeling really, really bad.
Yeah.
Or they're feeling fine. There's, you know, the upper bit, people don't get excited enough for things, or, you know, the stronger positive feelings that, you know, everybody seems to be walking, oh yeah, how are you? Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
And this again is conditioning, because we've been brought up in a world where, you know, it's not safe to be great. You know, a lot of people, when they're feeling good, they're like waiting. And Brené Brown talks about this in her book. You know, you feel this amazing moment of love, and then suddenly you feel this, oh, what's going to happen? Something terrible is going to happen. So we are afraid to feel too good, because we're waiting for what's going to happen to pull us down again. So we avoid that. And that again,
the fear of losing it before we've even had it, or we've only had it for a couple.
Yeah, exactly. We're afraid. We're afraid to go. It's this fear. There again, it's the fear of pain. We don't want to feel too good, because then we might lose it. So, it's better to stay where we are. Like, this is the comfort zone. We stay where we are. We'll be safe. Nothing bad will happen, and we'll be fine. But nothing good will happen either.
It's such a shame. When you can sit back and analyze, and you know, don't get me wrong, I haven't sorted myself. You know, I know I've got money blocks still, but it's so interesting that when you sort of, you can get it and you can see, oh wow, why have we got to this place? Why isn't this stuff taught in? Imagine what you could do for children. I mean, you know, everything would be solved within a generation, wouldn't it? It just seems such a shame that this stuff isn't taught in schools.
And people
don't learn that, you know. Oh god dear, I wish I knew what I know now back then, you know.
Yeah, totally. I mean, we live in it's all about the logic and kind of the glorification of the mind, really. But you know, the mind is not designed to lead your life. The mind is designed to be the servant, and the soul or the heart, whatever you want to call it, is supposed to be the master. And what we have in the world now is everything's upside down. We've put all this, the mind is supposed to, and it's not designed for that. So that's why people are having all these crises, why people aren't coping, because we're putting things on the mind that it's not designed to do. So that's why it's freaking out and it's trying to keep everything safe and in a box.
So it is, it's going back to, I love that, what you said about the heart. Again, it's just going back to being more heart-centered. And so what the heart does, it feels. It's your feeling place. So we need to have stronger emotions, folks. So it's okay to feel good. It's good to feel good.
Yeah, so, a big tip that I would say for people is to start recognizing the good things in your life every day. Like I have I do the 5-minute journal, and I have it as part of my program as well. So I give people, you know, every day they write, you know, their aims for the day or the great things that could happen. And then the evening, you know, acknowledge great moments, great things that have happened, because, you know, all too often people go to bed and they're just thinking about, oh, that was terrible. What happened? Oh my God, that person cut me off. We bypass the good moments.
Yes, we need to acknowledge them more. Well, Emma, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for your time. And to the listeners, get in touch if you want to sort of break through these money blocks this year. So you may see me next week, or you may hear me next week with a Coffee with Karen. Bye for now.
Bye.
Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.